Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into the Ryan Kelly Morning After from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. I'm Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch, sitting alongside some of my best friends.
I'm sorry.
He's not back yet, all right? Yeah, I'm in again.
All right, great. Nice to see you.
Thanks. We got a special guest here today. Not a special guest,
but a friend of the program.
Yeah.
There's no special about it.
A special guest for me, man. I like it when you're here.
I like you, dog. How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Why do you say dog?
That's just the way I speak.
That's how young people talk.
All right.
Doug, get
especially
hip.
When I'm a little hungover.
What happened? No. What'd you do last night?
I got sidetracked. We had our golf league last night, our O.B. Clark's golf league, and I had a good time. it was good to see some old friends like Sarah B. and Jay Boyd. They came and hung out. So it was
nice. Did they?
It's a big festival.
Did you play or just run the thing?
I just ran the thing.
He was working.
Night.
And so you had a nip of the cooking sherry.
I did have a little nip of the King of Beers.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, and now you're feeling it.
Did Tawny make an appearance?
Tawny did not. I'm always rooting for Tawny. I'm always rooting for Tunnels 12,000. Is that?
They're amazing people.
Yes, they are.
And Sarah B is wonderful with Jay Boy. That crew.
That's a good crew.
A great atmosphere.
That's a good crew.
I wouldn't want to see Tunnels 12,000. He's as vile as they come. Is that Tawny? That's not Tawny's boyfriend. Does he go by that name also?
I don't know that I'm allowed to.
No,
that's a yes.
It's an unnamed.
Okay,
it's an unnamed. Yes. No. I believe after the G8 summit, the decision was made not to reveal who Tunnels.
Well, of course. Why would you want to reveal it if all you do is write in the most vile stuff that's ever been on a radio station? Why would you want anyone to know your name?
He is rather vile.
Didn't Blousey just out him?
I had some I had some fellowship with a listener last night.
Nice.
Yeah, a Dogtown Astro fan.
Hello.
The brother of the Shrewsbury seat sniffer.
We're all related, Doug.
See, these aren't their real names.
No, they're great guys. You wouldn't know it sometimes by what they text in, Doug. Yeah. But the thing is, that's not always who they are in real life.
That's right, Ben.
Well, sometimes they are what they are text in, but there's more than that. Sometimes.
That's true.
But not always.
Yeah. See Big Al.
Well, I'm playing golf with two fan pinners today, and they're real names. And I don't know if they have fake names. I don't know if they text or email, but they're real names.
Speaking of that.
And I still have an opening, so out there.
You got one spot.
Yeah.
At 1:30 today.
I had three, and then somebody canceled.
Can someone claim it on the text line?
Sure. If somebody wants to play today at 1:30 out the Rock, thanks to Jay.
Out at Normandy. Golf course in good shape. I had a fan pin member message me on Facebook. They wanted to buy the group some beer. They couldn't make the tournament. I mean, they couldn't make your round today, but they gave me their credit card information.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Here's my credit card number. God. Please just buy something
for someone else.
He wanted me to take care of some of the beverages for the boys playing in Iggy's group.
Oh. Well, somebody did ask me what kind of beer I drink on the course, and I said I don't usually drink on the course, but afterwards.
Yes.
Hey, Jay, ask that guy if I could swing that my way. In need of a new couch, maybe a nice chair.
Maybe just the first month's rent.
Donations for Plowsy's moving expenses.
We didn't want a beer, but will you take care of a couch or recliner?
About an hour after he did it, he wrote me, goes, but I mean, don't go crazy. I said, I got your back.
Well, you save money on me because I don't drink on the course.
I know.
But
neither does Tiger.
But if somebody wants to, I have one opening. So if somebody wants to play at 1:30 today with me and two listeners out at the Rock.
Who are the listeners?
The listeners of the program.
I'll have to look up. Adam, not Adam.
Oh, wow. Big timing.
Rat from Bloomsdale?
That's not a name.
I'll have to look them up.
Is that a name?
It's two guys that I'm not familiar with as far as callers, but I'm familiar with them on the fan page. Hibbler, I think, is one of them.
Adam Hibbler. I guess we can say these people's names.
No, not Adam.
I don't know. Adam probably best not
there
to.
There is an Adam Hibbler, isn't there?
Yeah, that's caller Adam.
Oh gosh. You got to play golf with caller Adam?
I said it's not Adam Hibbler.
He doesn't
it might be Hubbler.
Have to. He gets to.
It might be Hubbler. Wow. I don't remember.
If you want to play golf with Iggy, text into the Appliance Discounters phone lines.
Or just hit me up on Facebook.
855-282-8255. We will... We will check that out during the Design Air 7 o'clock hour. Did you guys know?
Andrew Hubbard and Dan Tito Ulrich.
Tito.
Tito. That sounds exciting.
It's like Tito Ulrich
from the Jackson 5.
That's the real names. I don't know if they have text names or email names.
You just outed them.
No, they're on the fan page with their names, so I'm not outing them. Yeah. So that's who I'm playing
with.
Well,
why do they get to be anonymous? Why do they get to call and harass us, but get to do it under anonymity?
I don't know that they harass us.
Because they're not public figures like you, Doug. You have the you have the fame and the fortune. You have to go through the hoops of being a public figure.
No, I don't have any of that. That doesn't mean that you get to do it anonymously.
Well, I think
oh my God, we revealed the name of someone who's harassing someone else. Sorry, I don't buy that.
Best to let people make fun of you and say vile things to you under the cloak of anonymity.
I would agree with that, Ben Fred.
Well, yeah, I don't.
Well, Iggy's going to be golfing, and he's going to get hot, and he's going to want to go to a place that is nice and cool afterwards. If you're looking for that kind of place, you need to call Design Air Heating and Cooling.
Look at these blends already, the way you're doing it.
They're donating 2%. They're friends of the program, donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life, designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. So I have I spent most of my day yesterday at the DMV.
Oh, Lord.
That's always fun.
Oh, my. I got to go down to City Hall, and I was expired plates, so I was behind. No, I'd never changed my plates over since I moved back home.
How expired were they? Did they just expire?
No, like a year and a half. It was
bad. My goodness.
Well, you know, when you live in the city and you drive around the city, no one really cares.
They get you out in the county for that.
No, yeah, but I'm not out here much.
I think expired plates are just about the least.
I think
of the
they got bigger things to worry about.
Louis.
So I wasn't. I was behind on it.
Neighbors expired in August of 2016. He still drives.
Exactly, but
they don't care. I guess
I was getting shamed by my father. My dad was just going in on me about the plates time he saw me. You're pathetic. You're irresponsible. You're going to get arrested. You know, how are you an adult? You know, just, I mean, all accurate criticism, but I was just getting tired of it. So I finally went down there to do it. And so I'm thinking I'm going to get to pay all this money, blah, blah, blah. So everything's moving smooth. I go and talk to the property tax people. Boom. Get my little receipt. Go over to the DMV office. And I'm sitting there. The lady has the plates in the hand. We're talking. I'm going to be
ready.
In and out in an hour.
You're ready.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome. She's waiting for the stickers to print out.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, my computer's frozen.
Of course.
And I just thought, I looked around, I thought, oh, it's happening.
Yep.
It's like when the creepy music starts to play.
Yeah.
Statewide, the computers were down.
They got
you
statewide.
You don't know how long it's going to take. 5 minutes. It could be 5 minutes. It could be back up in five
That's
minutes.
When you just run out. You
two
just
hours,
go, you go the next day.
2 hours later. 2 hours later, their office is full. People are swearing up and
down.
Sure,
they're very happy.
People have stormed out, you know, cussing. And finally, they came back on. And 2 hours later, I got to get my place. The good news is the Cardinals game was on. The bad news was the TV was so out of color, it looked like they were playing on the moon. Like, it was like watching a negative. It was something else.
So you were there for like 3 hours?
I spent all day there.
Wow.
Yeah, all day.
Boy. I've had some nightmares there, too. Oh, I don't have to go to the one downtown.
I mean, is any one of them better than the rest?
Yeah.
Oh, I expect.
There is one,
Deer
actually.
Creek down on Hanley's.
Deer Creek's a good one. And the one just kind of snuck into pair there by the new Rosalita's Cantina. If you go on, you know, if you go the last day or the first day of a month, you know, you're gonna deal with something. But if you usually go in the middle of the month, you can get, I mean, not in and out, but in and out within 30 minutes.
Doug's got a great story. But the last, I got, like most people, I don't know, I get 2 years. Because I know at least that's a year I don't have to come see these people.
Right.
Can you do 2 years?
Now you can. Yeah.
I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah,
you can go 2 years and that way
you just got to pay a little extra?
I don't even know that it's an extra.
They didn't even ask me if I wanted to.
Pay for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not extra. It's just whatever 1 year
but
is,
then
you double it.
That's as long as you don't have to get the emission test. If your emission test is up to date, then you can do the 2 years.
I might not be eligible for the 2 years because I drive a truck and they're all about the emissions test.
Yeah, but Deer Creek, I went, because mine are due in July, so 2 years ago when I went, and there weren't a lot of people in there, so I got up there fairly quickly, and I give her everything I need, and she goes, do you have a second form of ID?
Uh-oh.
I said, what are you looking for? Visa card, what? No, I either need a birth certificate or a passport. I said, well, here's my license. Well, you need a second form. I said, show me on this sheet here where they send you what I need. Does it say passport or... Well, they changed that. I said, when did they change it? Well, they forgot to tell people they changed it. I said, but I live in St. Charles or Maryland. I have to drive all the way home now. Well, I'm sorry, sir. I said, what do you need a second form of ID for? to verify that this is you. I said, pardon me? You're looking at my license. Is that not me? Yes, sir. Well, then you know it's me. But we need a second form. For what?
There you go. Get angry.
And I was,
it does help when you yell at
I was
him,
mad I because noticed. I have to drive all the way to Maryland Heights. I come to this one because there's nobody in here.
That's
usually.
Right.
And I'm going to get out quickly.
Yep.
And when I am in line, I'm one of the few people that actually has everything you need. I love the people that
oh,
get
yeah.
in line.
The woman in front of me didn't know she had to have the inspection yesterday.
Yeah. Oh,
no clue what the inspection was all about.
Can I just bring my insurance? I have insurance, but I left it at home. Can I bring it back? That's going to get out of the line.
Get out.
Hey, you don't have everything. Get the hell out.
Hey, I'm going to defend the people that don't know about the emission test because I'm an Illinois guy.
Right.
And so when I first tried to get my Missouri plates and sticker, I went to Missouri and I went to a DMV and realized I had to pay like $130 or whatever it is for these emission tests. And I knew my car wasn't
up to snuff.
Yeah, it was a 93 Oldsmobile at the time.
Yeah, those weren't good on emissions. Yeah. I've read
and
about
so
that.
So I just used my, I went to Illinois, used my buddy's address.
And did it over in Illinois. She didn't have to deal with the emissions.
Peace. So. Yeah, no emission test needed in Illinois.
When
so.
Did the emissions really? Test come in, Doug?
Pointless, man.
Oh, I don't know, but it's been a while, I
it's
think.
The biggest
mid-90s?
20 years or so.
I don't know.
What do they even do?
I
How do you
no
know
idea.
They do it?
They stick something in your gas can, and then they pass you, and they charge
it's
you
It's a way to make more
bucks,
money.
Yeah.
It's a way, yeah.
yeah. Well, and to clean the environment, too.
Sure.
That was
oh,
the,
yeah, it's so
the
clean
general
now.
Idea.
Yeah, it's really cleaning it up.
But, I mean, you've been behind cars that are spitting out all kinds of smoke and everything. You can't do that anymore without getting
passes. You still see that, though. I mean, similar to Ben Fred and myself, you don't really necessarily have to get the. I mean, you should, but you don't have to. So there's still people driving
you
around.
You have to have the emissions test.
Well, I know, but you don't have to have the sticker. So if you don't want the emission test, you don't have to go to the
I wonder how many people forge inspection
documents.
Now,
what do you mean you don't have to have the emissions
test? Well, you have to. I mean, it's not like...
You do.
I mean, you do. Yeah, you'll get...
Fined,
and then I don't know about arrested, but like it's not...
But that's like saying you don't have to go the speed limit. You'll just get fined.
Well, it is true. I mean,
you don't have to drive.
If you don't want to pay,
you don't have to drive
test,
drunk. But if you do,
then you don't get a license. Well, you don't get a license plate.
Well, for these people that I mean, if they don't pass the emission test, that's their only form of transportation, and they don't have money for another car. What's the alternative? I would drive with an expired sticker over being told.
Well,
hey,
in the city, you probably can get away with that as long as you don't hit somebody or shoot out of your window.
In the city,
okay.
They steal your sticker.
Right.
I've had mine stolen a couple times. They literally peel it
right off
the license plate.
Put it on their
which does nothing
plates.
Because they have like right paperwork or you're in the
well,
system.
Well, if you're driving around and looking, then
keeps
they don't
policeman. That's right. When you get in trouble with the stickers. Is a cop pulls up behind you and runs your plates and say, "Hey, wait a minute, that's expired sticker."
Well,
oh, I didn't
now,
know.
You
know
I did. What I do now is because I had that happen is you take a razor blade and you just kind of make diagonal lines through it.
Yeah.
And then if they try to peel it off, it's only coming out in parts, and they stop.
That's why the diagonal lines I see people. That's what from a razor.
Right.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
Apparently, Plowsy, your car would have been grandfathered in from the admissions test. That's according to a texture, so you didn't need to worry about that. Apparently,
no. I tried to explain the situation, but she told me specifically that I needed one. That is why I went to the other side.
Everybody says 96 or 95 or older, they do not need the admissions test. But maybe you got yourself a stickler. Apparently, there's also a hidden DMV at Gravois and McKenzie and Afton. Almost no line there ever. It's next to Dairy Queen. That's from the 314.
This needs to be like an app. You could make money off of this. Like the best DMVs to go to near you.
Yeah.
Lines, Yelp reviews.
Or lifetime. How long is it going to take when you go?
Like they have on the emergency rooms when you're driving the billboards that have the time with the waiting room.
What about this? A live camera feed. You go in there, like, it looks like there's only three people in there right now. I'm about to go in there. Yeah.
I started to try to talk to people in there. Oh, they hated it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk in the DMV.
No, they're all angry.
There's a guy walks in his Golden State Warriors hat and his his jersey and he's with his wife or his girlfriend. And she's wearing a gold dress with blue shoes. Like they're huge, obviously. Golden State Warriors fans.
which is so prevalent.
I mean, so many people in St. Louis are just tuned in to the NBA Finals. So I stand at the window and I looked at him and go, "So you're rooting for the Cavs tonight?"
Oh. How'd they take that?
He just looked at me like he wanted me to die. He didn't think it was funny.
I had my own
moment
yesterday.
What's your story about the DMV?
Oh, the DMV.
Yeah, apparently I've heard you have a good one.
I had a different moment yesterday, not with the DMV, but it's to the gym where I always go.
You had an issue at the gym?
Yeah. I've been going there like 2.5 years or so, And I used to go almost every day, and now I'm once or twice a week type of guy.
Just make an appearance.
Yeah. You know? And so I've been,
sign a couple
I've been
sitting in a sauna with his balls hanging out.
None of that.
He likes to go haze the big weightlifters. Back in my day.
They take money out of my credit card, of course, every month, and I always go. And you have to, they've fingerprinted you, so you have to put your finger on the fingerprint to get in. And on top of that, they give you a little tiny piece of plastic that you have to show that you get in the door. This is exists there across from Ronnie.
Do you put it on your key?
I have, but it's flimsy plastic, and after a while, it wears off.
Yeah.
And so I go back in yesterday, and I said, I don't have my little plastic thing. Because it's broken off or something. And I've had to repay a couple times to get new ones. It's $10.
And how long have you been going to this gym?
2.5 years. Yeah. Every time piece of plastic crumbles, they say that's another $10. Just a piece of plastic. So I go in yesterday, and they won't let me in again. I said, I don't have the piece of plastic. Okay, it's $10. I said, now, wait a minute. You've got my credit card information. You bill me every month for 2.5 years. You've got my fingerprint. You've got my name, you've got my email, you've got every bit of information from me and proof that I pay you, and I can't get in because you want another $10 for this piece of plastic. They said, yeah, that's right. So I said, okay, I'm out. I would like to cancel my membership to the gym. They said, what? Yes, I'm out. Cancel it. So I did.
They actually followed through with it.
And it felt good to do it.
Good for you.
It felt good to do it.
That's like something that, you know, if you threaten to cancel certain things, you'll end up getting them basically for free. Like my sister does that with XM Radio.
Yeah.
You know, she bought a new car. It was in there.
Yeah.
And they gave it to her for, you know, a year for free. And then they were starting to bill her. And she said, look, I'm done. You guys raised it. I don't want to do it. And now she pays like pennies on the dollar for XM Radio.
Nice.
I mean, it's so cheap. She just lets it. But every time they move it up, she calls and threatens to cancel it, and they drop it back down.
This thing, I'm sure they include this piece of plastic just so you will lose it. And just so every now and then they can charge you another $10, a piece of plastic.
Some guy sitting around said, hey, I got a way we can make
a
little money.
Here's another way. Yep. Yeah. It's a gym. We can't.
It's putting one of his kids through college, that piece of plastic.
Yeah, security risk is so great.
I mean, all the big jobs are done.
Right. We couldn't let someone come in and walk on a treadmill unless he was carrying a little tiny 1-inch long sliver of plastic with him.
Well, now that we've hit the DMV and gym problems and solved those, we will maybe talk some baseball. We are going to talk with Lynn Casper, Chicago Cubs TV broadcaster, here in the Design Air 7 o'clock hour. We'll have the exit poll, the DV Sports Bar exit poll at 8:30. We got drops of the week, cuts of the week, and Hot Shots email of the day, as we do every Friday here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. The Cardinals last night were able to get a big win behind Adam Wainwright, who, guys, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were wondering if this guy was going to be able to finish the season, if this guy was going to be end up in the bullpen. And I think a lot of people who had seen Adam Wainwright be very good for a long time were saying, hey, you know, it's bad right now, and no one's trying to make it seem like it's not, but give this guy some time. He's got a track record here that shows he can be very good. Well, through his last four games, he's 4-0 with a .034 ERA. He's allowed only 16 hits, zero home runs. Opponents are hitting 172 against him in his last four starts. This is Adam Wainwright looking like he's back.
You wonder what the hell was wrong or what the hell's right. I mean, like you said, even the most ardent of Cardinal fans that are Wainwright fans kind of had a feeling like, hey, this could be it. This guy, he might not even be able to be the fifth guy in the rotation. But, you know, we react too quick, and clearly he's found something or found a groove, and he's been fantastic.
I've been saying all along that this is the best pitcher in the league. Even when he struggled, I say, you guys, you keep your criticism to yourself. This is going to turn around in a big way. And it has just been remarkable how good he's been lately. He says he's changing speeds more, and if you watch on TV and you look at the mile-per-hour thing there on the whatever on the graphic, there's sometimes he's throwing 68 miles an hour and then 93 miles an hour, and that works.
He also benched his cutter for a while, which was smart because the cutter was the hit that was just getting shelled, and he stopped throwing it. He kind of limited it to like 5 pitches a game for a few years. Now he's brought it back. He brought it back in Colorado, and whatever he's done, he's constantly tweaking and fiddling with his pitches,
yeah.
and it seems to have gotten a better feel for it.
And he said yesterday that he's changed his pregame routine as well. He's doing ab work and some curls, and he says he runs a little and he throws a lot more before the game ever starts. Now, clearly, he's not trying to get into my gym because he couldn't hang on to a piece of plastic
Absolutely not.
Do you think when Wainwright shows up to Bush, if he doesn't have his little piece of plastic, they say, sorry, sir.
$10 to get in.
I've been here for a decade. I'm one of the greatest pitchers in the organization. Everybody loves me. I'm Adam Wainwright. I'm sorry, sir. That'll be $10.
Hell with his pitching. If it wasn't for his bat, they might still be playing.
Yeah, that's true. He's a good hitter.
He's a dang good hitter. He should have won the Silver Slugger last year.
Yeah.
But they gave it to Arrieta, who was the only thing he was better in was average. Adam Wainwright had more home runs. He was like, you know, historic levels of RBIs for a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he might actually win it this year. Let me see his hitting here.
273 is hitting.
Is that right?
I think him and Martinez combined have more RBIs than half of this team.
Yeah. And if
Adam's already got 7 RBIs this year. He's hitting 273. He's slugging 591.
Wow.
That's awesome.
If there's anybody you'd really pull for, it's Adam Wainwright, too. There's not a better guy that's ever worn the Cardinal uniform than Adam Wainwright. And everything that he does, everything he says, the things that he doesn't, he's up there with Kurt Warner and Bernie Federko as truly some of the classiest athletes that have ever come through St. Louis.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't think anybody we'll disagree with that. And even when he's struggling, even when he was so bad this year, and people, I mean, those fans, the same ones who gave him the curtain call yesterday, there were people, and I was writing stuff like, look, this guy looks like he's going
to
be the starter at best, because it looked like that. But there were people, cut him! Put him in the bullpen! He's done!
Yep.
Get rid of him! You know, send him to Memphis! Do something! And he to his credit, he just kind of said, look, I'm not done yet, and I know the performance to this point doesn't justify that, but I'm going to prove him wrong. And I just love his mentality about stuff, his approach. And I don't think this is too homerish, but I don't know anybody who doesn't root for Wainwright. How could you not?
No, you cannot. It's impossible not to like the guy. It just is. I don't know what he'll do after baseball, after his playing days, but it's wide open. He could do anything that he wants to do if he wants to be a broadcaster or a GM, a manager.
I don't think he'd do any
whatever.
Of that. I feel like he's a hunter. He'd go out and like enjoy his land. He might get sick of that eventually, but I think when he retires, I don't think you'd see him in a booth for a few years.
You think that, but just because he's made a ton of money doesn't mean he's not going to want to do it. A-Rod is doing it.
Why not?
John Smoltz is doing it.
Smoltz is great.
Smoltz is amazing.
Yeah. He's really good.
Well, there's a reason that whenever the Cardinals are on a game of the week that it's Wainwright they put the headset on.
Yeah.
Because he's that good.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you answers. He's funny.
He gets it.
Yeah, I think he'd be a hell of a color analyst.
Yeah.
We have some sound from Adam after his two run home run yesterday.
Hit the lead.
Threw me a couple of nasty cutters away that I took and threw me that strike breaking ball before. And I think, you know, I think as athletes in here, sometimes we just react. And he showed me the curveball before and kind of locked me up a little bit. But he threw it out of the same slot the next time, and I was able to put a good swing on it.
It was a good pitch. It wasn't a hanging curve. It was a good
low
curve.
And went down and got it.
He just powered through it. Have you watched him during batting practice?
A little bit, yeah.
Like, he hits home runs as if he's, you know, as if he's in with the infielders, the outfielders. He just crushes home runs during BP.
Yeah, they have a nice little contest there, and usually Martinez. And I love Martinez. When he tries to hit it out, he'll swing and fall down.
Yeah, his helmet falls off.
Probably not a good thing to be doing.
Right, that's...
Well, Wainwright hit a home run in his first major league at bat.
First time
he came up to the plate.
Well, I was looking up some stuff yesterday because we're talking about, you know, everybody's talking about Albert Pujols getting close to 600 home runs. He didn't hit a home run in his first at bat, but he hit a home run at opening day at Busch Stadium in his first game at Busch, which was, I mean, you have these things that happen that you're like, man, like, that's still cool. Like when Paul DeJong comes up and gets a hit, you know, right away.
First at bat.
The home run that's like, these things are neat, and you see them sometimes, but they're never not going to be special.
Was Clemente's 3,000th hit a home run?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know. For some reason, I thought it was. I'm going to look that up.
I don't think so. I just know he got his 3,000th hit on the last day of the season and then died.
That's right. That's what it was. Yeah. Last day of the season.
Pujols had, like, you know, 445 of his 600 home runs were here in St. Louis. And I was just going through and looking at some of the more memorable ones. He had some. Like the 3 home run game in the World Series. Obviously, the one against, you know, the one against Houston was what everybody goes back to. But you know, it's his first grand slam, his rookie year in the ninth inning against the Pirates. I mean, he's just He was incredible.
Somebody
man.
Tweeted out a baseball card of his with the first 10 seasons, and you just look at all the stats. It really is just, you can't even do that with like a creative player on a video game. That's hard to do, let alone, it's just impressive.
I don't think people realize, I mean, obviously people realize how good he is, but I don't know that, I think more people are probably following his home run chase here than they are in California.
Oh, without question. I watched some of that game last night. There's nobody in the seats. Nobody in the stand. Nobody cares. They don't care.
And they spent all that money.
Yeah. When Roger Maris hit his 61st home run, I think there were 23,000 people in the stands.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen that old video with Phil Rizzuto on the call.
Well, they didn't want him to break the record. They either wanted Mantle to do it or nobody. And
yeah.
I told that to Willie Mays one time. He goes, you don't know that. That's hearsay.
Oh, you were hanging out with Willie Mays?
Hold on a second. Hearsay? That's not hearsay. It's written. It's written about.
You didn't know Willie was a big Hedo guy?
This is a subtle name drop. Probably the greatest player of all time.
No, we had.
Was this when you were the same, like you were hanging out with those golfers that one time at the Cafe Napoli? Or?
No. And my good buddy Jason Duffner tied for the lead at Memorial.
What?
No, we were doing a piece. McGuire was getting close to, obviously, you knew he was going to break Maris's record. I think he only needed like 4 home runs in 20 games or whatever it was at the time. So we decided we're going to put together a piece when he breaks it. We're going to have all the stuff ready. So I had a number for Willie Mays. I said, we'll just talk to some of the great home run hitters of all time. And we'll get their thoughts on McGuire. So I called him. He hemmed and hawed and just bitched for like 20 minutes.
About what? About McGuire?
I'm an old man. I don't do this.
Why and do
I
you said, want to talk to me?
I said, I just want to get a few quotes about, you know, McGuire and breaking right. He hasn't broken it yet. He's going to. You don't know that. Everything was you don't know that. I said, well, he may get injured, but we're putting this piece together. We just thought we'd talk to some of the greats. Why do you want to talk to me? Well, 600 home runs, didn't you? Or whatever, and one of the greats of all time. It's, you know, so then we started talking. He said, all right, give me some questions. So I...
like you've never done this
So
before?
I talked about... Well, he's in San Francisco. It's probably 8 in the morning. I don't know. He kept bitching about he was an old man. But I said...
I remember when he got done with the talk.
You remember this?
I remember.
I have it on tape somewhere at home.
He comes and goes, you're not going to believe how big a jerk Willie Mays was.
But I said, the difference here is I said, with Sosa and McGuire, I said, everybody is loving it. The fans are loving it. Those two guys are enjoying it. I said, Roger never enjoyed it. I mean, he was a wreck all during that chase. You don't know that. I go, it's in books, Willie. I'm not making it up. I said they wanted Mantle to break it, and there were only like 23,000 people in the stands when he broke the record. That's hearsay. Hearsay. You can go look at the attendance, you idiot.
Don't argue with Willie Mays.
I felt bad, but I'm like, this guy's giving
you
me nothing.
You called him.
He thinks that I'm lying about all this stuff. So finally, I think I said, thank you, Willie.
Thank you, Willie.
We got to go. I said, my God, can there be a bigger curmudgeon?
I remember you gave my, what's wrong with Willie Mays?
I parked next to him once.
Did you?
Yep.
You don't know that.
Yeah, well, I saw him.
That's hearsay.
It was when the Cardinals were playing the Giants in the playoffs there. We got the media parking lot, and he had like the first spot in it, and it was right next to our car, and he was just barely getting around then. That was, I think, 2014 when they played the Giants.
I can remember he'd come in for Mike Shannon's CBC tournament, and he just didn't seem real happy.
I think he's one of those guys that he feels like he's one of the greatest of all time, and now he sees these players that hit 250 making $20 million a year.
Yep.
He's one of those guys that really bothers him. But I don't know. I've seen him walk out of card shows. He just got frustrated, and somebody said, Mr. Mantle, can I have a picture? Mm-hmm. I'm tired of this. He just get up and line of people. He just get up and walk out.
Because they called him Mantle?
No, he meant Mays.
Oh,
Mays, no. Mr. Mays, I would love a picture. And he goes, I'm signing autographs. I don't. And he just get up and walk out.
There's an element of bitterness.
I think he'd be in everybody's top five, at least, of
have
greatest players of all time.
Yeah. Well, he could do everything. He was the best player ever.
I think I should have more resentment toward like older, you know, retired sports writers, guys who really got paid the big bucks. And
Blackie
Sherrod. Got the big, you know, the big travel budgets. So if the older ball players resent the new guys for making all the money, shouldn't we resent all the people before
sure
us in sports media who made big money?
You should resent Al Gore for creating the internet.
Oh, okay.
That's what changed your business.
I'm sure Shirley Povich was really pissed off that his son was making more money than he was talking to people that didn't know who the father of their baby was.
You know, Jay Sr. went to camp with Maury Povich.
Camp.
True story.
Band camp?
Two Titans.
Camp Letts. I don't know what the hell that means. Summer camp. They went to summer camp together.
My God. Yep. Greatness. So much greatness in one spot. Really incredible. Wow. My brain is kind of
all should go to Camp Letts.
Shook me a little bit. No kidding.
This could be memory lane day. Let's just go down memory lane.
Plowsy, who's the most famous person he's got high with?
All right. Think about it, Plowsy. Think about it.
That was easy.
Well, I don't know how we're going to explain this to Lynn Casper, the great Chicago Cubs TV broadcaster, who joins us now in the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour on the Appliance Discounters phone lines. Cardinals, of course, headed into a series against Chicago, a huge series. Both teams not playing as well as they would like. We're going to talk it over with Lynn. Lynn, thanks so much for making some time for us this morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, let's start with where the Cubs are. The Cardinals feel like they're not playing their best baseball, and I think the Cubs are feeling the same way. Yet you look at the standings, and the Brewers now in first, but the Cubs and the Cardinals are right there behind them. What is not working for this team? Yet how are they managing to hang around?
Well, I think offensively, you just had a bunch of guys kind of go into slumps at the same time. They've had no problem getting guys on base via the walk. They take a lot of walks. They get hit by a lot of pitches. They just haven't hit enough this last road trip. They went 0-6 in Los Angeles and San Diego, and four of the six games had three hits or less. Had a couple of games in L.A. in which they didn't have an extra base hit. So that's not very characteristic of a Cubs team that expects to score a lot of runs. So I think that's the main reason. The starting pitching got off to a bit of a slow start. It had been a little bit better as of late. The bullpen has been really good, but Joe Maddon hasn't really had an opportunity to use his relievers with a lead late in games for probably over a week. So the last homestand they had, they went 7-2, and I know that after a bit of a slow start at home, they really wanted to make Wrigley Field that home field advantage that it was last year. So I think they look at this homestand as a pretty important one coming up.
It's Lackey on the mound in game one. He's given up five runs in his last couple starts here. Is this the beginning of the end of John Lackey, or is he just going through a bit of a dry spell here?
Yeah, with John, the stuff always looks the same. And it has his whole career. His fastball velocity has never really changed. He's aggressive. He's always going to attack. He's not afraid to give up the occasional solo home run. I think his philosophy is just play the odds. He doesn't want to walk people. So I think maybe locating his pitches has been a bit of an issue at times, and whether that's a sign of age or just going through a slump, I don't really know. But John Lackey, I'm guessing today, will look a lot like the guy who wore a Cardinal uniform. And, the Cubs have been really happy with what he's done here these couple of years. And, for him, I think it's just attacking the strike zone and trying to hit your spots.
I think everybody had the Cubs as a shoo-in to win the division this year, maybe going back to the World Series. Are the fans there starting to get a little restless, or are they patient?
Oh, Cub fans are never patient. And I think they're a little spoiled, as fans of teams who win should be, right? The Cubs won 97 2 years ago, got to the NLCS, won 103 last year in their first World Series since 1908. So, I think the expectations, as they should have been, were enormous. But I think they were internally as well. And, I knew that if this team struggled to start the year, the narrative would be the World Series hangover. And, I have no idea if that really exists. I think there are a lot of baseball reasons to explain why this team has been pretty mediocre in the first 2 months. But I do think now that we're into June, it's kind of like, okay, where's that second gear? And I think everybody's waiting for the Cubs to find it for sure.
Hey, Lynn, I know a lot of guys are struggling when the Cubs offensively, but you saw what Schwarber did last year coming off the DL and the surgery, and then what he did in the playoffs, struggling mightily this year. I guess we'll see him all three games because it'll be all righties going against the Cubs. How tough was that for Madden to basically bench him against left-handed pitchers?
Yeah, you know, I think he got to the point where he didn't want to bury him, you know, make sure that he's in favorable matchups. As you said, you know, he's pretty much at this point going to be a platoon guy against right-handed starters. And I think that'll change if he gets back to the guy we saw a couple of years ago and then in the World Series last year. I think the thing people need to remember with Kyle Schwarber, you know, because of all this postseason success early in his career, I think we tend to look at him as a more mature major leaguer than he actually is. I mean, if you look at his numbers, guys, he's played just over 100 major league games in the regular season. So, you know, he's not a rookie, but you kind of feel in a way like he is a rookie. It's a tough league. The Cubs right now are dealing with pitching staffs who know that the hitters, especially with runners in scoring position, are having a hard time laying off the high fastball. And I think that's where Kyle is right now. And, you know, I think you're going to see Lance Lynn do that today. I think he's going to try to get the Cubs to bite on fastballs up and out of the strike zone. It's been very effective against this offense as of late, and we'll see how they adjust.
I'm looking forward to the snarl factor on the mound today between Lynn and Lackey. That's going to be some intensity there. I wanted to ask about Fowler. He'll get his ring tonight. Hasn't had a chance to be presented with that. I imagine there'll be a very warm welcome for him back in Chicago since you know he will be presented and introduced and all that stuff. But he's going back to his old team after a pretty disappointing start here. His average is .230. His on-base percentage is .317. This is the lowest, if it sustained, would be the lowest he's had since he, you know, first broke into the majors in 2008. What do you make of Fowler's start so far? And also, kind of a two-part question, do you think not having Fowler has contributed to the Cubs' start so far?
Well, you know, maybe the World Series hangover, right? Dexter struggled to start the year. Jason Hamill, Travis Wood with Kansas City. Yeah, I think the dynamic of the lineup changed for sure because, you know, previously it was just write Dexter Fowler's name in, top of the order, and it kind of set everything up beneath him in that order. The Cubs used Kyle Schwarber to start the year, and then they had the pitcher bat eighth. That has changed with Schwarber moving down to two, and it's possible he could move down to the middle of the lineup. Jason Hayward's gotten off to a really good start, and I could see him maybe moving up in the order, maybe swapping spots with Schwarber. But, you know, Fowler had a great defensive year in center field, and the Cubs have not been nearly as sharp on defense as they were last year when they had one of the best defensive seasons I've ever seen. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say that that they've struggled maybe replacing him. They feel good about Albert Almora Jr., Ian Happ, John Jay, the former Cardinal. So they've got some good pieces here. It just all hasn't gelled yet offensively. And as I said, I think they feel like now's the time, especially with the Cardinals coming in and a couple of games under .500. They don't like seeing that record where it is.
With Fowler, there's been some discussion here. Just because he's struggled so much and Matt Carpenter has been a good leadoff hitter for so long that there, maybe you spark the lineup by flipping those guys or putting Carpenter at leadoff for a couple games. How do you think Fowler would respond? And I know he's not going to go out there and not play hard, but how do you think he would respond performance-wise from not hitting leadoff because he's only hit leadoff for so long?
Yeah, you know, my hunch is he'd be fine with it, you know, if he moved down a little bit. You know, guys realize that when they're struggling, managers kind of need to do what's best for the team. And, you know, ideally for a Mike Matheny or a Joe Madden, when you make a move that would be considered pretty bold like that, you're trying to help your team, but I think you're also in the same vein trying to help that player. So, you know, I don't know where Mike Matheny is on that. I've talked to Joe about Kyle Schwarber. You know, for Joe, a lot of it is about track record and about frustration level. And when a guy is grinding through what Kyle Schwarber is going through right now, There's a value, I think, in dealing with that and keeping your head up and not letting the frustration get to you. And as long as you have the right approach, in Joe's mind, you know, he's happy with that. Now, he wants more production, but he's not going to demote a guy unless those frustrations start to bleed into your at-bats. So, you know, my guess would be in Mike Matheny's case, he's going to stick it out with Dexter, who's had a long track record as a very good leadoff hitter. And if there is a change that's made, I'm sure he'll give him a good heads up about it.
We saw a lot of stories last year how Joe Maddon tried hard to keep the atmosphere light and fun and playful. Are they still doing that with the team struggling a little bit?
Yeah, they actually did the Ron Burgundy road trip with the, you know, the leisure suits. And
oh, nice.
The team went 0-6. And
so that's the end of that.
And the last day of the trip, and he wore his suit on the plane, and a lot of players did too. You know, there's a consistency that he likes, not only of effort every day, but also in attitude. And Joe's thing is the world's not coming to an end. You know, we've only played a little over 50 games. We've got a long way to go. He doesn't like the idea of showing panic. So he had his green leisure suit with a black and red horrible looking shirt underneath, and he was smiling and having a good time on the plane coming back. So that's kind of how he rolls, and I like it. You know, I think that in other sports, right, we want our coaches to yell at the players and get in the media and pound their fists. But in baseball, there is a consistency that's really required to keep yourself sane, if nothing else, during the course of a 6-month season.
Yeah, I think it's a long season, but also it's one that includes, in my opinion, the best rivalry going in baseball right now. I mentioned this because ESPN just launched a vote to what's the most intense baseball rivalry in 2017, and Cardinals Cubs is pulling away 55% there above Red Sox Yankees and every other one they listed there. So we'll get three games of it this week, and it should be fun. It should be big for both teams that are trying to kind of get a run going here. Lynn, thanks so much for taking the time to visit with us this morning.
Enjoyed it very much, guys. Thanks.
That's Lynn Casper.
All right, thanks, Lynn.
Chicago Cubs TV broadcaster joining us on the Appliance Discounters phone lines. What are you laughing about, Jenny?
I thought he might. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks, Lindsay. That's Lindsay Nelson. Boy, I miss him with the Mets. Remember him?
Wow, I sure do.
With the different sport coat.
Yeah, yep. Probably before my time, Doug.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And he also did Notre Dame football. Touchdown, Notre Dame. Notre Dame touchdown.
He was a legend.
Yeah. He would just say one thing and then say it backwards.
Yep.
There's nobody better than Bob Murphy, though, for the Mets.
He was the sidekick, right?
But then he became the lead guy. That's about the only station, KMOX and WFAN, I could pick up in Bermuda.
Yeah.
If it was a clear night, it came in great, and I would listen to Mets games. And ever they won, it was Bob Murphy. Back with the happy recap right after this.
Did you see yesterday, I guess this is the last year for the Hawk, Kenny Harrelson?
Oh, really?
That's in our exit poll. We'll talk about
that. Is it good? He's a good dude.
How old is he at this point? He's got to be...
ageless.
Mid-70s, probably?
He's got to be. He's a good guy, though.
Is he?
Yeah.
And we had him on here once, and he was fun.
Yeah, he's a good... I was lucky enough to play golf with him one time, and he's a funny cat.
Did you hear what Joe Maddon said about his failed Ron Burgundy road trip?
No.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you think that players love to play for a manager like that, who's not going to just freak out all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. But I also do wonder... like, where do you press the... where does the panic set in? Because you can't... at some point, it's impossible to avoid, but maybe they pull out before they...
I mean, everybody... we had Will Leach on yesterday, and you hear all the experts seem to think at some point it's going to turn, and the Cubs are going to go ahead and kind of take over the division. But, you know, now we're into June, and, you know, here we go. I mean, we'll see.
They got to get... I think... here's what I guess it would turn is when they go out and get some... starting pitching upgrade.
And it doesn't work.
You can't ignore bad pitching. You can hit as many bombs as you want, but you cannot get past terrible starting pitching.
Right.
I mean, it's just...
well, and you can look at the Cardinals offense and say the same thing you can about the Cubs. If, you know...
the switch,
flip. If six guys are going to tank to career lows,
right,
they're going to not be good. But
then it doesn't matter how good your pitching is.
It is hard to imagine, you know, 12 players across two teams playing their career worst all in one season, and the Brewers, you know, continue to lead. I mean, it's not going to happen. They're going to fire at some point. That, to me, is what will be, if it all shakes out and the Cardinals are getting behind the Cubs and it comes down to, you know, if they're not able to get a wild card spot, and that's, I guess, what I would predict, and they're meaningless anyways, but that's what I could see happening today, then that's why not getting a little bit of a cushion on the Cubs now is going to bite them, because the Cubs are not playing well, and the Cardinals could have made some hay, and they were having their own issues.
Well, this is the weekend, the way the Cubs are playing.
I think this is a big series.
Advantage.
I think it's a huge series.
If the Cubs would happen to sweep three,
yeah,
then you think, they were 0-6, six-game losing streak coming into this, and you get swept by the Cubs.
And the Cardinals play well against the Cubs, especially at Wrigley Field, even recently. So they don't have Cub killer Randall Grichuk anymore, though. He balls against the Cubs.
Yes, he does. He does. But we saw just in this Dodgers series that for the Cardinals right now, it's just all about pitching.
Totally.
When Martinez and Wainwright go out and deal like that, they win.
You don't have to worry about the bullpen when you throw eight.
Win. Yeah, 2-1, 2-0. They just barely win.
Let me ask you this. How many pitches had Wainwright thrown yesterday when they pulled him?
He'd thrown a number of pitches, Jay.
Okay.
It was mid-90s.
All right, because I got in my ride. I had to go pick up some rental clubs for a tournament we got today, and I'm like, you know, he's reading the line, and I'm like, you know, six
101.
Innings. 101. Okay, 101, all right.
What does that have to do with rental clubs?
No, I was in the car listening to Mike and...
Mike?
And,
Rooney?
And, yeah, John Mike. Rooney.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm like, why are they taking him out for a minute? Because they read his line, six innings, four hits, no runs, two walks, and I just was curious, I mean... Why do you take a guy out?
Yeah, who's going to do better than that?
I mean, I think in the sixth, he had the opportunity to bat again. Is that correct? I mean, that would have been kind of fun. To...
Yeah, they pinch hit for him.
Yeah.
They did. They pinch hit Greg Garcia, didn't they?
Yeah, it was either Garcia
or... Yeah, Greg Garcia. Yeah.
You would hope that a guy who's been as good as Wainwright is and as many years as he's been around, you would ask him.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't probably lie to you. You would hope that you'd get a straight
answer. Of course he would lie to you.
You would hope that he would
He's
going to want the ball.
Arm is falling off. He's going to lie. He wants to be out there. You have to take the ball from his hand.
I mean, it worked out, but my old mentality of, damn, you got a guy just rolling. You know, give him an inning more.
Well, you know the 100-pitch.
Yeah, I know.
This isn't Grover Cleveland Alexander when you pitch both ends of a doubleheader.
Well, it's not even John Denny or Bob Forsh.
No, those days are over. You get to 101. Can't risk losing him for the season.
But I agree. Sometimes the hook is too quick. When the other team says, "Oh, good, get him out of there," you're probably doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, I'm.
But I think maybe I give them some credit that Wainwright might have said, "Yeah, I'm kind of I feel it."
Molina said,
he seems like he's not quite as sharp.
It was just a little thing. It just reminded me of the contrast of baseball gone by.
They haven't had too many guys pitch more than 100, throw more than 100 pitches in a start this year. I mean, I think Carlos went over once.
With all the injuries that they've had and all the injuries all over baseball.
But I don't. Yeah, that's not a Cardinals thing.
It's across the board. It's you know, kid gloves.
They got to do something to try to lose two pitchers every year to Tommy John.
Right. Those surgeons got to make their money.
Carlos, that's why you don't have complete games anymore, because I don't care if the guy's gone eight scoreless and threw 85 pitches. Well, we got a closer.
We're paying the closer.
We got to get him in here. It's 2-0. It's a save situation, and he comes.
Carlos has pitched more than 100, but four times now, and he pitched 118 in one game.
And Lynn,
and people are talking about, Carlos Martinez still in there. What are they doing? It's like, you know, the guy is young. He's their number one starter. They didn't win that game, but it wasn't Carlos's fault. It's like that was the game where he went. You know, he pitched the complete game, and then they lost.
And some of those old timers, like the Nolan Ryans and the Steve Carltons, when you're striking out 12 or 13 a game and walking another four or five, some of those guys I'm sure were throwing 150 pitches.
Yeah,
and going the whole way, and then coming right back with the 3 days rest.
You know, this gets back to the whole debate about the pitchers, where you have like guys going with Alex Reyes, for example. People say, you know, he blows out his arm at spring or right before spring, and people are going, well, he had a partial. It says, well, he had a partial tear, and he must have aggravated it or made it worse. People are going, well, he had a partial tear. Why didn't they shut him down for Tommy John as soon as they found it? And it's like, well, if you examined every pitcher's arm in the history of baseball, you're going to find something not right.
Yeah,
throwing a baseball is not right. It's not natural motion.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep doing it and you're good enough to do it at the major league level, something's not going to be right in there. At some point, if you feel good and nothing is popping or snapping, you should probably just keep throwing it, because at some point it will give out.
In 1985, Burt Blylevin had 24 complete games. 30 years later, in 2015, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw had four complete games. Mark Burley had four complete games, and Corey Kluber had four complete
now,
games.
Now, why do you say Kluber?
I don't know. But, I mean, there you go. 20 less complete games in a 30-year span.
When you got relievers throwing gas, though, I don't know what their bullpen situation was like back in
In 65, you didn't, per se.
I'm not even talking closers. I'm talking the specialists. That, you know, guys like, I hate to bring out
the
Brett
setup
Cecil,
guys.
But yeah, the guys that are the specialists, you didn't have them, like, you know, back in the day. So you had to throw your best pitcher for like 8 or 9 innings.
Justin Verlander was the last player to have double-digit complete games, and that was in 2011.
I wonder if the salaries have something to do with that. If you're paying somebody $20 million a year, are you really going to put him out there for another 2 innings when he might be tired? Or are you going to say, you know what, we'd like to have you the rest of the season. Why don't you sit this inning out?
It was James Shields. Had 11 in 2011. Verlander was at 6 the following
year. Well, the American League's different. I mean, you don't have to pinch hit for a pitcher or lift a pitcher. So
right.
True.
And they tend to throw more pitches in the American League for some reason. They let them go longer.
Yeah, and now you have guys, managers, if they leave a young guy in more than 100 and something happens.
Oh yeah, it's all on the manager.
Gets killed.
Yep.
Wasn't it last year? Was it a Dodger pitcher?
The young kid, they pulled him out.
Had a no-hitter going.
And Dave Roberts was celebrated for it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure his parents are happy. They don't want him. No, thank you for getting him out of there. I don't want to ruin his arm. He's a moneymaker.
No, the parents were happy. The dad praised the heck out of him. I was just kidding.
Did the Nationals do that Strasburg's rookie year? Wasn't he on a pitch limit?
Oh, he was on a nutty pitch limit.
And they made the playoffs, and he was dominant. You remember his opening.
They stopped pitching him like in September, 1st of September.
Yep. Yeah, and they held Pat. I mean, kind of looking back, I don't know if it was a right idea, but yeah, once you make a final decision, that's...
I don't think it was a right idea to bench your best pitcher. What does that say to the rest of the team?
We don't
really want to win. We're just all about this pitcher. If you needed that guy to win the World Series, then you put the guy out there.
That's a Boris call, too.
I wonder if we are going to see some like regression to starting pitching being more important. Like, I feel like at some point we're going to go bullpen. We'll go reliever nuts, and there'll be a push resort back to maybe valuing the best pitcher for more of the game.
One thing that hasn't changed since 1904.
What?
Is design air, Doug.
Oh, that's what I understand.
Absolutely.
Do you have any more information about that?
I do. You know, they're the number one train dealer.
Oh, good.
In town.
I've heard it's hard to stop a train.
It is, and it's hard to stop Seth Goldkamp and his family.
He's basically in the HVAC business, unstoppable.
He is. He is the go-to guy, and they really care about their customers. They'll have a technician come out and make sure you're ready for another St. Louis summer. Their techs have an average of over 26 years of experience. How about that?
That's a nice average.
There's more training with the train system than any other dealer in the area. If you don't want to turn on that AC and find out that you need emergency service or a new unit, Design Air Heating and Cooling will get you set for the summer. Hey, support the sponsors. They support us. They let Doug feed his family. Make sure to mention you listen to TMA, as Design Air is now donating a portion of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life, a great organization. Call 314-739-1600. That's 739-1600, or visit designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train.
Yes, it is.
But wait, there's more. They're also donating 2% of all sales from TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life, which is a very special thing to do. You missed one. That was a great read.
Yes.
Jay, but you just missed one. It was Doug Robin feed his family.
Thank
he helps
you
Doug
much.
Robin
do
feed
not,
his family.
I do not.
His boys, you know, he's got a lot.
I
got
had
three
some
boys.
Bird feed.
Back before their teeth come in.
Guy
he's
came
got
in
to Robin feed him.
Guy came in to pay for his round yesterday, and he said, is John Vaughn coming to that remote next Thursday night? And I said, it's my understanding he's going to be there, so.
Wow, people are asking about JV.
Just a guy, a listener to the program. He knew I was on the show. And
he's popular on the fan pin, isn't he?
He's very popular on the fan pin. He gets a lot of likes.
As he's in the pro shop, this fella, getting ready to golf, his question to you.
Is John Vaughn coming to the TMA Live in St. Charles? And I said, I believe he is.
Why would he care?
It's the same question.
He's a John Vaughn Lemming, maybe.
Same question Doug asked at dinner. Is John Vaughn coming to dinner tonight?
Yeah, I have to ask that occasionally when we don't know his whereabouts.
You'll be asking that question when they're 40. They're not moving out.
I know.
How could they? Why would they move out? They're living with a legend.
I don't think that's it. You're living with an ATM machine.
All right, we got the exit poll coming up. We got Iggy's Drops of the Week. We got Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. All good stuff, emails of the day, too. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.